Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
You're listening to a two-part investigative series from WBUR.
Many states withhold some information about sexual assaults or domestic violence to guard the privacy of victims. But Massachusetts goes much further. State law keeps all police records of those crimes completely hidden from public view. A WBUR investigation finds the law, which was supposed to help victims, has regularly protected police and perpetrators instead. WBUR's Ali Jarmanning begins with one example northwest of Boston and an advisory. This story includes descriptions of violence.
All Ann Donahue has left of her older sister, Mary Fairbairn, are memories and family photos.
And these are just like when we were little. There's not a lot.
Donahue says Mary could fix anything around the house. Mary taught herself computer programming, and she was a wonderful mom to her son and daughter.
She had such a good smile.
That's what she was. She was just happy and friendly, and, you know, she was very sarcastic and quick-wit and just funny.
Donahue worried about her sister, though, especially Mary's decades-long marriage to Greg Fairbairn. And on October 19th, 2019, Donahue's worst fears came to pass.
116 is right.
116.
That afternoon, police responded to a 911 call from the couple's remote home in Groton. Greg had called them there. Officers found him mumbling in the driveway.
Be advised, male party was extremely distraught. Not making a lot of sense.
He allegedly told officers, "I killed my wife. Just put a bullet in me."
Male party is in the kitchen. Allegedly, the unresponsive female is in the bedroom.
Mary was covered in blood. An autopsy later found she was stabbed 27 times. It wasn't the first time Groton police had been to the house, according to interviews and documents reviewed by WBUR. Police were warned repeatedly that Mary might be in danger. And just the week before Mary died, Groton police were called to the couple's home twice. There were no arrests. Both times, police left Mary alone with Greg.
They didn't kill her, but they were negligent in every step of the way in protecting Mary.
Donahue made one of those calls to police just 2 days before her sister was killed. She later told the Groton police chief the department failed Mary.
When I was out of my depth, I called the professionals, and that's you. And you botched it. You know, Greg is ultimately responsible, but there was plenty of opportunity for him to be removed from that house, and those opportunities weren't taken.
We don't know what police did or didn't do, because Groton police won't release any records of the calls or say what happened when police responded. Instead, they cite a sweeping state law that makes all reports of domestic and sexual violence confidential. Groton Deputy Chief Rachel Bilecki says she knows withholding all the records could make some people suspicious.
There's just that automatic knee-jerk reaction that we must be hiding something as police officers because we did something wrong.
But Bilecki says they're just following the law, and Groton isn't alone. Across the state, WBUR found more than a dozen other homicides in the last few years where police withheld records of previous reports of domestic violence. Without the documents, it's hard to know whether police could have done more to prevent those murders. That certainly wasn't the intent of the confidentiality law, says Laura Van Zandt. She's executive director of a regional domestic violence organization called Reach Beyond Domestic Violence.
Using this law to hide how the system responded is not serving anyone. I don't see how that is serving the greater good.
The law was originally intended to protect the privacy of victims and encourage more people to report abuse to law enforcement. It was first passed in the 1970s to cover sexual assault and broadened 8 years ago to include domestic violence. State Representative Alice Hanlon-Peisch sponsored the 2014 bill to expand the law. She says the Weston police chief told her victims didn't want their name or the name of their abuser to appear in the paper when they reported domestic abuse.
He said, "I really worry that this is an inhibition to women calling when they need help. And given that we already provided that kind of privacy to rape victims, it made sense to me to provide the same thing for domestic violence victims."
Do you know if it worked, if more people came forward?
I don't know in terms of data.
We checked. WBUR asked some of the biggest police departments in the state how many people called to report domestic violence before and after the law expanded in 2014. Some went up, some went down, but there was no meaningful change overall after the new privacy law went into effect.
I would imagine that the majority of people don't even know that this exists.
Amanda Mitchell works with survivors of domestic abuse at New Hope, Inc. She says when victims seek help, they aren't thinking about the confidentiality rules.
That's not the most important thing to them. Keep me safe. That is the most important thing. You know, protect my family. That is the most important thing. It's not some obscure law.
So the law didn't lead to more survivors calling for help, but it did do something else. It enabled police to withhold records that could be embarrassing. More than 40 police departments across the state refused to provide WBUR records of officers accused of rape, child molestation, or other allegations involving sexual or domestic violence.
Off the job and in handcuffs, prosecutors say Everett officer Michael Morey launched a dangerous assault on his wife, who is 7 months pregnant.
In 2016, Michael Morey was arrested in Salisbury and charged with beating his pregnant wife. The charges were later dropped after his wife refused to testify. Records show Everett did its own investigation and found Morey violated department rules, but kept him on the force anyway and locked away its report on the investigation. Everett Police Captain Paul Landry says they have no choice but to withhold the records because of the secrecy law.
At least here in Everett, I can't talk for other agencies, are readily transparent about everything that goes on here. But again, we're under a requirement to follow the law.
Still, WBUR found the rule is not actually enforced. We checked with every prosecutor's office in Massachusetts and found no one in memory has ever been charged with violating the law. That's given police the freedom to decide what records to release and what to withhold. Hema Sereng-Siminski is policy director at Jane Doe Inc., a statewide organization representing survivors of domestic and sexual violence.
We know that law enforcement shields their own. The Blue Wall of Silence is a documented issue.
The secrecy law keeps the public in the dark about other important issues, too. Boston police refused to provide data on how long it took police to respond to calls about domestic violence. And both Quincy and Framingham say they can't provide any details about a number of unsolved stranger rape cases in their cities. They also don't recall ever warning the public about the incidents or asking for help identifying the assailants. David Adams worries the law has actually made it harder to stop abuse. He runs a program in Malden to rehabilitate domestic abusers.
Giving perpetrators confidentiality and removing this from the record, so to speak, really was a real gift to abusers, basically, because I think domestic violence really thrives on secrecy and silence.
But WBUR found some cracks in the silence. In an apparent violation of the law, Groton police shared some of the records involving Mary Fairbairn with her sister, Ann Donahue, who in turn shared them with WBUR. She's read them all, multiple times.
On July 31st, 2019, I spoke with...
Those records show Donahue and others repeatedly called the Groton police before Mary was killed.
About two residents, Gregory told Mary that he would kill her if she did not give him her ATM card.
Greg Fairbairn is now in Bridgewater State Hospital, while the courts determine whether he is mentally competent to go on trial for murder. But Donahue worries no one is examining whether police could have done more to help prevent Mary's death. She says she understands the need to keep some records confidential, but thinks families deserve greater access and wants someone to review cases like the ones leading up to Mary's murder.
Once that person's gone, there's no going back and filling in the blanks. And it's like a big hole that it leaves in your heart to not know the events leading up to your loved one's death.
Mary isn't here to talk about what happened, but others are.
What I felt when they said no was that they were protecting him over and over and over again.
I think the secrets part is the accountability issue. Nobody wants to be accountable. And nobody wants to be accountable for the lack of accountability that's going on.
In part two of this investigation, we'll hear from some survivors who say even they couldn't get the records about the abuse they suffered. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Allie Jarmani.
Massachusetts is the only state that keeps all reports and arrests involving sexual or domestic violence hidden from the public. Lawmakers designed the sweeping measure to help victims, but a WBUR investigation found the law has repeatedly been used to protect perpetrators and police departments instead. Now WBUR's Allie Jarmani reports the law has also made it harder for survivors. And an advisory, the story contains descriptions of violence.
Purple flowers swirl around a light blue background on the canvas of one of Geneva Davis's paintings.
And the first painting here, this is how I felt. I'm very gentle and loving and free-flowing like a flower.
All her paintings are vivid and beautiful. They almost mask what's at the center.
Now you can see these knife marks in the middle.
The canvases have jagged slash marks. An ex-boyfriend stabbed each one after a night of terror 2 years ago. He held Davis hostage in her Dorchester apartment for hours.
He had some Timberland boots on. He was kicking me. And that's when my neighbor called the police.
Boston police arrived and knocked on the door. Her abuser pulled her into a back hallway and held a hammer over her head.
He was like, if you make a sound, you could be dead, or you could be brain dead, you could be paralyzed. And so I didn't say a sound, because I know he would do it.
When nobody answered the door, Davis heard the police walk away. And in that moment, she felt hopeless. She feared her 5 children would lose their mother.
He's really going to kill me. He's really going to murder me, take my life.
After more than 2 hours, Davis managed to flee out the back door. Her abuser was later arrested and sentenced to up to 3 years in prison for assault, kidnapping, and other charges. But that didn't end the problems for Davis. She needed the reports of what happened that night to obtain a restraining order. That meant repeated visits to the police station in Dorchester.
Sometimes they say they can't give it to me. They're not authorized to give me that information.
Over and over, Davis says officers told her that because the reports were coded as domestic violence, state law barred police from handing them over. It's not supposed to be this way. The law police cited was intended to protect survivors. It even contains a specific exception for victims, granting them access to their own reports.
There is a carve-out in the law, and unfortunately, it doesn't always work, and it often doesn't.
Mithra Merriman is an attorney who works with domestic violence survivors at Greater Boston Legal Services. She says other victims often run into the same roadblocks as Davis.
I've gotten many calls where they can't get the report. And if they don't reach me or they don't reach a lawyer, they may give up.
In some cases, advocates say police just don't know about the exception for victims. And for others, the exception is far too narrow. 2 years ago, a South Shore mother fled with her baby daughter while her husband raged through their house.
Could hear him slamming things. It sounded like he was throwing drawers across the room. I remember thinking he was going to come in and kill us.
We aren't using her name because she still fears her estranged husband. She says she isn't the only one he abused. She reached out to other women who dated him in Boston and discovered they had similar stories.
He could maybe say one girl was crazy and went to the police But you can't say three were.
She wanted the police reports to bolster her case for custody of their child, but Boston police wouldn't give them to her. They said the exception in the law didn't apply because she wasn't the victim in the other abuse.
What I felt when they said no was that they were protecting him over and over and over again.
She wants lawmakers to expand the exception so survivors like her can access similar reports in the future. But victims aren't the only ones who feel harmed by the law. Somerville refused to give a family a police report accusing their first grader of sexual assault.
I want to know what they alleged against my six-year-old son. I want to know what they said, and I want to know who said it.
Flavia Perea is the boy's mother. She says school administrators told her someone called police after her son allegedly touched a classmate's butt. The city says the parents can't have the report because it describes a sexual assault. Perea says there was no assault.
I think it's being misapplied. And I think the fact that it's being misapplied in this way actually undermines the scope and purpose of the law.
Massachusetts is the only state with a privacy law that goes this far. Other states take a much more targeted approach. Like in Vermont, there, police can redact the names of victims and witnesses on any documents. But arrests and police reports still remain public. Leah Ernst from the Vermont ACLU says that creates a good balance between people's need for the information and the desire to guard victims' privacy.
So long as the victim's information is safe, I don't see any public good coming from withholding the rest of the information.
In Massachusetts, some people who initially supported the law say they are now open to change. Jane Doe Inc. is a statewide organization representing victims of abuse. Staffers supported the expansion of the law in 2014. But today, they acknowledge that there are problems, not only for victims, but in how the law is routinely used to hide records of police misconduct. Policy Director Hema Saring-Saminsky thinks it's time for a study or commission to re-examine the statute.
There is a very clear unintended consequence of empowering law enforcement to really assert even increased power and control over access, information, and records. And that is something that, you know, was never an intent of this law as written.
Even the state representative who filed the original bill in 1974 to make sexual assault records secret told WBUR it's time for a review. And State Rep Alice Hanlon-Peisch, who pushed for the 2014 expansion, says she isn't against revisiting the law.
If there is evidence that it is being used in a way that's inconsistent with the intent, I am more than open to attempting to, you know, make some minor changes to the language.
This painting here, this is more stab marks here. So the yellow represents hope.
In the months after her assault, Geneva Davis found ways to transform all the canvases her abuser had slashed. And with the help of an attorney, she eventually got some of the police reports she needed, despite the initial refusals by police. But even then, police insisted some records were off limits, like that 911 call from the neighbor. Davis is frustrated by all the secrecy.
Nobody wants to be accountable. Nobody wants to be accountable for the lack of accountability that's going on. Those things should be public records so people can see this is what's real. This is happening in your community.
Violence like what happened to her, she says, shouldn't be hidden any longer. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Allie Jarmanning.